Good morning, everybody. Good morning. My name is Peter Waser. I'm the local country channel manager of Microsoft Switzerland, of course. Thanks you for coming. 350 developers in this room, IT professionals, 100 partners. And sorry again for those who couldn't come into this room because the room is not big enough. We have a lot of attendees basically on live stream following this session today. So also welcome to the loved ones on live stream. Now it's my honor and pleasure to introduce to you Mr. Steve Ballmer. So I'm asking for Steve Ballmer. Steve Ballmer, please come in. Okay, sure. Who are you? Who are you?
I'm Steve Ballmer.
You are not Steve Ballmer.
I'm Steve Ballmer.
Über Sie sehen, ist Steve Ballmer. Wer sind Sie?
Moin, ich bin Steve Ballmer. Ja, also,
können Sie zeigen? Zeigen Sie mal. Steve Ballmer? Tatsächlich. Das ist die Karte, die er hat. Und ich habe sie gar nicht erwartet. So.
Ja.
Oh, I'm so sorry. We asked for Steve Ballmer, but now can you do the session for us?
Oh, no problem.
No problem. Okay. So I'm actually kidding. So this is Steve Ballmer from Switzerland. So another Steve Ballmer, but the real Steve Ballmer is just out of the door. Steve Ballmer, now the real one. Please welcome Steve Ballmer. Okay, Steve Ballmer. Okay.
I think he's better looking.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, thank you, Steve. Now, new era of opportunity. The stage is yours. Thank you. Okay.
Thanks, Steve.
Also, Steve Ballmer.
It's a great pleasure for me to have a chance to be here with you today. They told me as I was preparing, Peter said, we have a surprise. You're going to meet Steve Ballmer. And I said, well, okay, if there's another one in the world. They couldn't find two of us with two L's, but you'll have to decide who's the real Steve Ballmer for yourself. I want to have a chance to talk to you a little bit about many of the exciting things that we're doing at Microsoft that I think are relevant for our combined business. Certainly, we live in a time of great opportunity. We live in a time of great competition and great challenge. And I want to set a little bit of a stage on kind of how we see the opportunities overall, what some of the things we're doing, and then have a chance to take some of your questions and comments. Certainly, from a technology perspective, the big transformation can be summed up somehow in the word cloud. Now, cloud means many things to many people. To some people, it refers narrowly to changes in the back end of computing. But there's a general transformation in the shape of what we do that's going on that literally affects everything, from the devices we use to the way we build our applications, the way we get them deployed, even the nature and type of solutions and applications that we build. I'm very optimistic about prospects in the industry. It's an amazing thing. Folks here in this audience, we all chose to be in this business, and the business continues to evolve and create new opportunities, which are remarkable. The cloud, to me, really means three things. One, it means a re-architecting of, let me call it, the back end of the computing infrastructure. You know, we went from mainframes to minis to client server to websites. We're going through a transformation now, essentially, to the cloud as a back end platform. Shared computing, shared storage, shared networking technologies that are far easier to build and deploy applications for than the things that we've been doing on our own servers and in our own corporate data center. The back end changes. The front end of computing is changing also. The shape and nature of the devices. PCs will continue to be very important. But we've seen, obviously, the growth in smartphones. Some of you may have noticed we made an announcement late last week with Nokia to have Windows Phone be the smartphone platform primary for Nokia. TVs, smart TVs. We've done a lot of work here in Switzerland with Swisscom, with their smart TV service. Obviously, the advent of keyboardless devices, slates, tablets, etc., is upon us. But it's not just the physical form factor. It's even the way we think about and write applications. What's the role of the technologies that live just on the device? What's the role of HTML5 and standards-based ways to write and create applications? How is the user interface of the devices, not just their size, but how does the user interface itself proceed? Where does voice, where does touch, where does gestures, where does the pen, where does the keyboard and the mouse, where do each of these find and have its own special place? Certainly, as we've launched our Kinect system this year with Xbox, we have found that there are a lot of interactions that people do want to do with their voice or that they want to do with their gestures. We know there are things people want to do with touch, and I'll tell you there's still a lot of things that are just best done with a keyboard. And when you don't have one, you miss it. And people have to understand that these things kind of add together. So this next generation of smart, natural user interface devices is upon us. And the range of devices and approaches continue to change. You just look out in the audience here, and I can tell you just by looking, we still have lots of opportunity. We all have an opportunity to bring a phone, to bring a PC, to bring, some of you might even bring an iPad. I wouldn't. I'd bring my new Windows Slate PC for note-taking. And yet many of you either have nothing or you're writing on pencil and paper because it's still a preferred form of interaction, which tells us we still have a lot of evolution to do in smart, natural user interface devices. The third area that I'd highlight is in the evolution of applications themselves. It's not just that we move to the cloud on the back end, and it's not just that the interaction approach has changed on the front end. But in a sense, what's happening is all of the world's information and all of the world's people and maybe even all of the world's programs are opening up for us to create a new class of application. People talk a lot about the rise of Facebook. And what the rise of Facebook means is a couple of things. It does mean 500 million people sharing pictures and talking to their friends. But it also points to a world in which we can think about the relationships between people as being an important way to create new programs. How does a community of people who are all involved in working on the construction of a new building, financing it, they work in multiple companies, how do they come together in a virtual community and communicate? We need to link, our applications need to link people together in new ways. You can think about the same thing in terms of data. You know, I'll get back from my trip this week in Europe, and I'll want to pull our sales results. I'll want to look at what's happening in our sales results compared to what's going on in the sale of PCs and competitive products and phones across the world. Well, a lot of that data actually comes from inside the Microsoft systems. But a lot of it has to come from the internet. How do you write a program that pulls together information from all these sources? Even with the wonders of what we're doing with Bing and our competitors doing, if you actually want to write a program that looks at the world's data, it's still not that easy to do. So we get a new class of applications that pulls information about people, places, things, all together, and creates a whole new generation of applications as well. So I see three big opportunities. Our company is trying to pursue all three of those. On the back end, we're working hard to build next generation systems that have the characteristics that people associate with the cloud. Number one, we do have to build new infrastructure that isolates the people who build applications from the people who operate them. That's been classic in the way enterprise IT has worked for years. You build an application, but then somebody's got to work between the development department and the operations department. How many servers? How do they get configured? Oops, how did you write your app? What management? Blah, 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 back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You cannot run a cloud service that way. We have about 200,000 servers in our Bing service. We can't have every developer talking to every operations manager about what goes on every server. We need to create essentially a platform that isolates those two things. How do you build a platform that can scale, geo-replicate, and extend with reach? Because that is part of a cloud infrastructure. You know, you come to Zurich, and there's many big global companies headquartered here. You build a new application. That application may be used by somebody living here in Switzerland, but may be used by a private banking client living in Western Indonesia, for all you know. And you need to have a way to be able to have the IT applications move close to the client, at least in a virtual sense, so that they're always available at high performance, et cetera. How do we automate the building of that? Deployment and management. The next generation of cloud architecture isn't few big computers. It's lots of little cheap computers. That's essentially the modern design. Lots of little cheap computers. But those lots of little cheap computers can't be linear in the number of them from a deployment and management perspective. So we need to build infrastructure that makes that automatic. And of course, energy and cost efficiency is a primary goal. With our Azure tool sets, we've been working with customers around the world. We have a couple of customers here in Switzerland that I'll highlight. Sobeys, the Swiss social media provider. They've grown at about 10 times the rate they might have thought and about a third of the cost, which I think is phenomenal. ETH, they offer worldwide workshops in risk management applications. They offer that as a cloud service in their value labs here in Zurich as well as in Singapore. Risk management is a classic next generation application. It's got a scale. You want to do advanced analytics, and you want to pull information that is both inside corporate systems and information that comes from the internet at large. We've worked with Siemens on our Windows Azure system on a scalable system that allows Siemens sales reps, or sorry, service technicians to go out and service medical equipment and deploy, be able to deploy new patches and updates to Siemens medical equipment. We've seen carbon footprint reductions of up to 30% or more based upon the kind of consolidation that you can do on our Windows Azure and SQL Azure backends. Some of you will say, hey, we're not ready to move to the cloud. We like a lot of what you're saying here, but you got to give it to us privately. We still worry about security and some of those issues, physical security as well as virtual security. So today we're bringing the same kinds of technologies to the best of our ability back into the data center with Hyper-V, with Windows Server, and with our System Center Virtual Machine Manager. And eventually we will give you full Azure and an ability to run in your own private cloud coming over the next year or so. We've been in market with Windows Azure about a year. We have about 30,000 customers using Windows Azure already. Many of them are using the advanced database services provided by SQL, some of the advanced application platform facilities that are in the Windows Azure app fabric. And so we're moving ahead fairly quickly with a broad range of services for the buildings of applications in the cloud. Obviously, we have great tools with Visual Studio and .NET, but we welcome other applications. We welcome Java applications to this environment. We will welcome PHP applications, all to the Windows Azure environment. I talked a little bit about new ways to interact with information. I want to spend a minute before I dive into some of that, reminding us that the PC remains the most important way on the planet to interact with digital information. In the last year, there have been over 350 million Windows 7 computers sold, which is phenomenal. Still more. I don't think that'll stay the case for the next few years, but still more even than the number of smartphones that have gotten sold. And so the importance and role of the PC continues, even as the smartphone becomes, I think, a device that essentially everybody on the planet will have, even as some affluent people will invest in secondary and third devices that are secondary slates and tablets. And we're going to find a whole bunch of people in business and at home who want to own a single device that is good at being their PC, good at being their viewing and reading and consumption device, and you'll start to see Windows, let's just call them Windows devices that look like that, appear in market later this year. How many people in the room have had a chance, just show of hands, to see a Kinect, Xbox with a Kinect? Anybody? Okay. I encourage you, even if you don't think of yourself as, quote, a gamer, unquote, to have a chance to stop into a store and take a look at the Kinect system. It's a sensor platform that goes with the Xbox, but you'll see us bring it to the PC, and it lets you essentially control your digital world by speech, which is great when you're in a big, say, a living room environment, you want to talk. It lets you wave and get your computer's attention and gesture to it, and, hi, how you doing? How about we watch the soccer? No, I don't want that. And you wave, and you're, oh, okay, they're not interested in that. There's a lot of evolution that'll be led from the living room that I think is actually going to be very important also in the business space. I can imagine a future of video conferencing where you put a few of these cheap camera sensor devices into almost every conference room, just as an example. Windows Phone 7, we launched into the market just 3 or 4 months ago. We have a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do. It's a hectic, crowded market, a lot of competition. Bravo, Apple, bravo, BlackBerry, bravo. Okay, all doing great. We got a great new product. We have to tell the story. We've got to galvanize the development community. We know there's a loop between those. We made a major announcement. I had a chance to at the Mobile World Congress. We showed for the first time IE9 running a very full set of HTML5 graphics accelerated on the phone, which is a phenomenal, I think, thing, and will allow really the internet to come to life in its full beauty, even down on the phone, at least on the Windows phone. We've had good success. We'll see what happens. Right now, you can look at a lot of things that look a lot faster running on IE9 on Windows phones than on those other phones. We have a number of Windows phone developers here in Switzerland. There have been about 150 applications developed that are specific to the Swiss market. We've got over 8,000 applications in the marketplace, which is small compared to iPhone and Android, big, particularly compared to what's been going on in Symbian and BlackBerry, but it's rising as fast, frankly, as the early ramp up in even the Android or Apple marketplaces. We want to show a little bit to you today of Windows Phone 7, so I would like to invite to come up on stage and share a little bit with you Sasha Corti from Microsoft Switzerland. Please welcome Sasha.
Hi, Pete, thanks a lot. Thank you. So, thank you very much. So here I have the new Windows Phone 7 device, actually with an operating system version you haven't seen yet. And as I unlock with my secret pin, please do not memorize that one, you will see my home screen, the fully customizable Your My Own screen that I have added live tiles to. You see two emails accounts here showing me how many emails arrived since I last checked. You see my Windows Live, Xbox Live avatar peeping in here. You see even people. I added myself and Mike, my colleague here, two people tiles. I use them a lot. I see their social network status updates. And just a quick, for those who haven't seen it yet, the People Hub, we use hubs a lot here on Windows Phone 7 to aggregate information here. In the People Hub, I see all the people my phone knows, but not just their phone numbers, also their social network status updates, all aggregated into one place where I logically look for that kind of information. And going back into, for example, the email application, now to something you have not seen yet, something very new. I'll create a new email, and I'll type, tell my wife that I'm doing a live demo with Steve now on stage. She won't believe that anyway. So, hi from, okay, stage. You see, I'm a little nervous up here. Stage in the, okay, that's going to be ugly. Radisson blue. Okay. You saw the phone tried to correct me as good as it could. It allows me to go back to every single word here on the screen and find the right ones even after typing them. And what's really new, what you have not seen before, I can not just select a word, I can extend my selection now to multiple words. And I can copy that text into clipboard, copy and paste on the phone. Thank you very much. And only 3 months after initial launch, that is something. So now I leave my application and I will show you something very new. Local CH just launched. Great, great application they wrote for Phone 7. And now here, after narcissistically searching for myself as a test, I can here, you see the little clipboard icon here, I can paste the Radisson blue and look that up. And hopefully we'll find that. I probably should have written Zurich, but let's see if it finds it. Yeah, there's quite a few ones. I can select one. It's not Lucerne here, but I'm sure that's where I can escape to if the demo goes too badly wrong. You'll see details about the contact. You see live mapping information. And you have the option of, for example, adding that contact into my phone book via a VCF card. Another great thing here is the ability to look for places near me. So if I go back here, I can search for the nearest pharmacy or something around me. Connectivity here. Hope. Yep, you see the nearest spaces. So if I need a bar, I just select the bar and it will show me where in my vicinity are the nearest locations. It's not final, the software here. Might have a little glitch, but another one here. Not yet released, but really soon to be released, is a Blick application. And I think this application really shows how to, as a developer, you can take the look and feel of Windows Phone, of its visual elements, of its horizontal scrolling through the panorama controls, and add it to your own application. And this one is a very, very good example, I think. You see the top stories turning here on the front page, revealing the different categories, and now it loads in the background, it loads the stories, and as a glance at go, as you have it on the home screen with the contact tiles that change the picture, you see the picture changing in here. I go to sports, and you see everything that is on today in sports on Blick. It includes photo galleries, videos, and everything live for you. You can even tell it to download your news content in the background, so if you're offline, you can read the latest or almost latest news as well. And one of my favorites is the Swiss application from Visually. They created a very, very stunning application. I can serve my everyday needs on the airport here. I can locate myself through GPS. I can see when the arrivals are. And in the style of the airport signage, it will show me when the arrivals are due, when planes are due, if they're delayed, if they're arriving, if not. Just a second here. It allows me to do booking right through the phone, have my ticket on the phone, do everything I need to do right here on the phone. And a big, big favorite here that we only have in the Swiss app on Windows Phone. There's no other mobile application from Swiss that does that. If I'm a really, really aviatics savvy passenger, I can get every single plane from the entire fleet on my phone, check the seat map. Usually that's not where I'm sitting, so let's scroll down to the luggage room and find my favorite seat. That's just a few of the applications that we have, and I'd like to finish my little demo with a PowerPoint application, with showing you a little PowerPoint slide deck I just created, because on Monday Steve introduced a couple of very, very exciting new features coming later this year, second half of this year, to Windows Phone. There was unfortunately not a chance to have it already live or on video, so I thought, hey, I have PowerPoint on a phone, I don't need that. So what you will see, screenshots here taken from Monday's conference, you will have multitasking, double tap the back button and see all the running applications in little images, switch to them instantly, sub-second from game to another game, for example. You can start a third-party music application, let it play music, and then exit out of it, have it continue playing music in the background, and even get controls shown for music controlling the music inside another application. Another one, Steve already mentioned, Internet Explorer 9 on the phone, fully hardware accelerated with HTML5 canvas and video tag. 2 weeks from now, I'll be doing a long HTML5 and Internet Explorer 9 show in Zurich. If you care to attend, I think there are open seats, a tech talk. I really love that stuff. And SkyDrive integration in Office. So in the Office Hub, you will see SkyDrive appear. You just connect to your SkyDrive. You see all your folders, all your documents. And you can share documents or folders to other people to work on the same documents. So you can collaborate on the phone in SkyDrive. Some amazing features coming to the phone later this year. And that's my demo. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I'll tell you, I want to talk a little bit about just a small disease I have as a guy in our industry. I'm sure none of the rest of you get this kind of reaction to technology, but when he brought up the Blick application, it said Ersta demo in Libyan. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow. We're doing a demo right now of Windows Phone 7 in Libya. And then I had to calm down and say, I think that's a different kind of a demo. Sick being in this tech business. Last thing I'll just touch on, I talked a little bit about the new generation of applications, and I think that those are really important. For us, a lot of the leadership work we'll do there will really come from Office and from Bing. Office in terms of helping people assemble that data and really building in connection to people as a first-class way of interacting through Office. You see that already with some of the social features that we built into Outlook and SharePoint and Link. You'll see us take that more and broaden it to the internet at large. And in the case of Bing, one of the things that we're working hard to do is open Bing up as a development platform so that as we categorize and as we glean knowledge about the world by indexing the web, we're putting that in a form where third parties can write applications. There'll be more to talk about it, but we think of it kind of like Binglets. Bing knows so much about the world's information, and yet how do we let programmers build against that? There's a lot of great things going on broadly, enhancements that we've made, not only in Windows, but Internet Explorer 9, which will be available here in the next month or so. Internet Explorer 9 is a great piece of work. I noticed that one of the questions that somebody said I might get from this audience is, why are you in the browser war? Because at the end of the day, a core technology for how we create applications for these new smart devices is going to be the way in which HTML gets integrated with local hardware, gets integrated in with specific features of the local operating system and devices. So it's really important for us that we are first class in the work that we do in the browser. And certainly with Internet Explorer 9, I encourage everybody to check it, whether you come from the Chrome world, the Safari world, the Firefox world, or the Internet Explorer world, boom. It'll be the best browser, my opinion, that you've ever used. Office, I had a chance to talk a little bit about. Many of you are familiar with SharePoint. We're trying to do more and more with SharePoint to facilitate this next generation of applications that I talked about. SharePoint is a social platform. It does link and help people collaborate, but it's also a portal and data platform. And so having it be the point of product development, the center in which you can innovate in a corporate world to write that next generation of applications, we think is a phenomenal opportunity. Our company's got a lot of opportunities, a lot of things going very well. Our server products are selling gangbusters. People are using Office and SharePoint. Windows PCs are selling well. We've got competition in the browser space. We certainly have Apple doing their best work in years. Google's doing whatever Google does, blah, 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 working hard at it. Oracle, VMware. It's a fun time to be in this industry. It's a fun time to be a technology supplier because you have to work your smartest, your best, the hardest, and kind of with the greatest speed, agility, and innovation you've ever before. Our company's determined and committed to lead in these dimensions. We're going to compete very well, but we're going to compete by working well with you, by working with our partners, by working with the software development community, and really giving you, we hope, the end products as well as the tools to take advantage of the changes that are coming from the cloud in the back end of computing, the front end of computing, and the next generation of application. I thank you very much for your time today. I know we have a chance for a few questions. And if we don't get to something that's on your mind, my email address is steveb@microsoft.com. I look forward to hearing from you in the virtual world if I don't hear from you today in the physical world. Thank you.
Would you prefer to have a seat or
stand?
Good. I see. So the two things we wanted to share with you from Switzerland is, first, there are people that share the same name with you. And the other thing is, whenever we want to know something, we ask just everybody. So that's what we did with your sub-visit. So on the registration form, it said, if you have any questions, please ask Steve. And that's what a lot of people did. We had about dozens of questions, and some of them I would like to ask you today. One question that I don't ask you, but that was, do you actually hate those Google guys, or does it happen that from time to time you have a beer together with Eric Schmidt? You don't have to answer, but...
Well, no, I mean, most of the guys I don't know personally, so I don't have beer with them, nor do I personally hate them. Do we compete with them? Absolutely. Absolutely. Do we enjoy competing? Absolutely.
Good. That's great to know. So you touched the cloud.
you touched the cloud topic and the mobile phone, but one of the things that concerns a lot of developers is the discussion about the right application platform. So, for example, one ISV sent us a message. We all know that the next version of Windows will come. As an ISV that is planning the renewal of my software product, on which development technology should I bet on? Silverlight, HTML5, WPF?
Yeah, now, if you have a Windows application, you're going to renew on top of modern Windows, and which really means you're going to want to be a native application on the next version of Windows. We haven't said when it's coming, but we started showing technology in the form of Windows running on system-on-chip architectures, ARM, as well as system-on-chip architectures, x86 from Intel and AMD, and there's no doubt that when you renew, you're going to want to renew on the next version of Windows. Today, you either have a Win32 app or you have an app that's been written basically either in C++ or C#. We will have development environments for the next version of Windows. We'll have C++, we'll have C#, we'll have JavaScript. So you'll have your choice of ways of building those applications, but you'll want to be native. So no matter whether your application today is built C++, C#, or whether you're looking at JavaScript, we'll certainly support all of those in the next version of Windows.
So I'm glad to hear, so not only HTML5, so that's the main message, I guess.
Well, HTML5 is a surface. It's not really a way of writing programs. I mean, Windows has today a graphic surface, and you can get at it through Windows 32, you can get at it through Silverlight, you can get at it in a lot of ways. HTML similarly is a programming surface. We're going to obviously have a way of running all existing applications, but there'll also be a way to be kind of native to the new platform in any one of those programming styles.
So just one deep dive about the smartphone, Windows Phone 7. So you answered already quite a bit of it, and with the Nokia deal, in a way, you gave the best answer by actually doing a big, bold step. One of the things that concerns developers maybe in Switzerland is, what about a market like ours? So Switzerland, unfortunately, is the country with the highest population of smartphones with a fruit on it. I don't remember the name of the product. But can you...
There's a lot of fruits in the phone business.
Yeah, yeah, actually.
I don't know. If you haven't seen this, I encourage you to go... I'll send you to a competitor's product just to show you I'm a friendly guy. Go to YouTube and type BBC Blackberry, and you find a very funny video about a fruit stand.
So the question actually is, we see a lot of advertising on those other platforms. So how strong is the commitment to do what is necessary to make Windows Phone 7 a success also in a like tier 2 market like Switzerland?
Well, Switzerland's not a tier 2 market, so I don't know. Oh, it's a tier one market.
Okay.
Look, this is as sophisticated a market as any in the world. The adoption of information technology is at the highest level in the world. You highlighted that. We know it. You know, if you want to introduce a kind of a new high-end, interesting piece of technology, Switzerland's absolutely a place where we expect to see that kind of technology get adopted on a very quick basis. So we're very committed to the success of Windows Phone. We're very committed to working with Samsung and HTC, LG, Dell, and now also Nokia, who's decided, boom, they're all in. They're a Windows Phone company. And we're very serious about doing that in the top market of the world, which is Switzerland.
Good.
You guys laugh, but you know, the story's sort of told. My dad grew up in Switzerland and didn't move to the United States till he was about 25. And my dad, I grew up maybe in Detroit, but with my dad always telling me Switzerland's the greatest country in the world. So it's easy for me to say I was trained that way from a very young age.
So definitely a wise man, your father. But...
Yeah, but if he thought that way, you have to ask, why did he move to the U.S.? He was also a little crazy, yeah. My father.
Everybody does mistakes from time to time. But to be honest, I think it's really great. So the Swiss professional developers did a great job. Switzerland is actually, in terms of numbers achievement, one of the number one countries about Windows Phone development, which is great. But a lot of question we got about it is really, in a way, your role as CEO of a truly global company is to balance investments in different markets and to say, where do you want to start first, and then those tier one and tier three and tier two decisions. So the question is how do you do that? And then maybe more concretely, the most often heard things were, when do we get Bing in Switzerland? What about soon music marketplace? And some of the things we really would love to have in Switzerland.
Yeah, we really only have about 7 products. And we want to have those 7 products be global. I'm going to tell you what the one biggest, the one that is hardest, but I'll go through the 7. Windows is global. Windows includes IE, global. Office and all of the back-end infrastructure, global. Windows Server, Windows Azure, SQL Server, global. Xbox, not yet global, but pretty global, at least as it relates to Switzerland, a very important thing. And our TV, well, Xbox is a little different in high piracy countries because the hardware gets sold for a very low price and the money gets made on the software. And if you take that to a country with high piracy, the economics just don't work. Windows Phone itself will be very global by the end of this year. We've got to make sure that the marketplaces also either have local content or we have local partners who have marketplaces for things like music. And that's, whether it's Zune or other music and video marketplaces, we're going to have that covered the end of this year. Bing, we're moving global as fast as we can. The issue is really putting in enough capital investment so that we can index a big enough percentage of the interesting parts of the web in every country. Every country has an investment. Every country has a set of local indexing kind of heuristics that are required to find relevant information. It turns out advertising is not bad in search. Advertising is actually good, because it provides sometimes different useful information. We have to build out connections with advertisers here in Switzerland. So there's a set of things we're doing, but that is a top priority. It's a top priority for ourselves, for Bing, for Windows Phone. You'll see us really push hard on that by ourselves and even in conjunction with our partners like Yahoo and Nokia.
So final question, and that's more about the overall strategy. It seems to be that Microsoft is one of the only companies who try to cover the commercial side and the consumer side. Other competitors, IBM, Oracle, VMware, they are strong on the commercial side. Apple, Google, so they're trying to move into the business side. They're still consumer companies. So why do you think it's the right thing to bet on both markets? And how do you manage the stretch that sometimes happens?
Yeah, I would say to whoever wrote the question, which one would you not do? No, it's if you say, okay, let's give up on the consumer side or not do that, we know that what gets popular with consumers comes into the enterprise. So we better be popular on the consumer side. But if what's popular on the consumer side is going to come into the enterprise, then you better work hard on the enterprise side. I mean, Google, Apple, they're busy trying to build out enterprise capabilities, which is something we started 20 years ago, and we now have capabilities on both sides. I think that is actually essential strategically. And when we think about our competitors, the weakness to some degree of Apple and Google is that they don't understand the enterprise. Similarly, the weakness of companies like IBM have been that they never understood the consumer. So two strong muscles will make a great company. And we started out strong with the consumer. We built enterprise capabilities. And I think right now we're back in the gym working on the consumer side of our capability set, getting stronger and stronger with products like Windows Phone, the new Windows Phone 7 with Xbox, etc.
So great. So then we're looking very much forward to Microsoft's answer to this late market. And with that, I would really thank you for sharing time with us with the presentation and also the questions. And because I only could ask you a couple of questions here on the memory stick in shape of a Swiss Army knife, you find all the other questions in case you don't have cloud connection in your airplane. Mr. Steve Ballmer.